why I'm hanging on so tight.
I mean, yeah. I think you have to have
But what I don't want to have them do is say it's a rich man's bill. Now, you've already begun to do that. You've got these fellows who over there in the AFL-CIO who might charge that. I think it would embarrass us all as the party of the people.
I think they will do that no matter what.
Well, I think, no.
I've already accused some of the corporation presidents of being for the tax cut because they're going to use the money to try to feed us anyhow.
Well,
and one of them admitted it.
Well, I don't mind that. I expect that. But I'm sure we could get, if we can get the dividend credit straightened out, I'm sure we can get labor to be all right. I'm sure we can get George Meany.
I will do my best, Mr. President, but I assure you that it is real.
I know. Well, God dear, you know.
My district, and it is a rough district.
I know, but when they see what this tax cut, I just saw a survey made up in this in Rooney's district, this fellow who just got elected before he ran, it showed that 78% of the people supported the tax cut. That was in the 70s for the Republicans and in the low 80s for the Democrats. I think it's a terrific asset to us, and I think it's the only chance we have to avoid a recession 64.
Well, I agree with that.
Now, these people, when they get the reductions in the rates which they will get, plus the corporation tax being reduced, plus the small business taxes being reduced, they're going to get a terrific, they're going to feel very good indeed, and this economy has got a good chance to be really booming. But I think can kill us and scar it will be if they say, oh, this is a bill which is just taking care of the big people. And I think the dividend credit happens to be the key issue. Yeah, I hear it's 13 to 12 up there, so Larry tells me, so you're key, and we really need you.
Well, I will do my very best, and thank you so much for calling. And I assure you that on the economic thing, I absolutely agree that the tax cut is completely essential.
But what we don't want to do is give them an excuse to take what I think is one of the good things we've got going for us, and maybe there aren't that many, and one of the good things that we've going for us, and say that this is a bill which is taking care of the big boys. Because if you take that, as you know, listen, I know enough about that dividend credit to know that is a real grab bag. And the only justification really is that those rates were prohibitive. Now, if we do something about those high rates and corporation taxes and the rest, it seems to me that there isn't anybody in the United States, particularly those who are in the higher brackets, who aren't going to be very happy. I'll be happy, and I'm in a pretty good bracket.
I would be enchanted if we did something about these personal holding companies this morning.
Yeah. Well, let me talk to O'Brien about that. I'm not up on that. I'm not up on that one. I'm just up on this one.
Even on the oil.
Yeah. Well, I agree. Look at the oil.
Yeah. If we could have reduced it 0.5% just the depletion allowance, it would have been the greatest tax dollar.
Yeah. But I think they might. They're going to have at least they'll get a roll call in the Senate on that.
I hope so.
Okay, Martha, do the best you can, will you? Because I think we're playing, I was going to go on television, or I think we could really sell this thing as the best political asset we can get this summer, and as a something that's going to be good for the economy, that business supports, that labor supports, that's going to help the industrial state. And I just hate to have this thing scarred by people saying, oh, this is a rich man's bill, and then makes us all trying to explain it isn't, and then they say, oh, well, the Democrats now have gone over to the big boys, and if you get enough of those labor fellows saying it, this bill will both be poisoned before we're finished.
Well, I hope that we can make it all right.
Okay, fine, Martha. Thank you.
Miss Prince. Miss Prince.
All right, fine. I appreciated what you said.
Well, sorry.
And I appreciate your note. Mike, I've just been talking to Larry on this matter of Stennis. The reason I made such a thing about it is because, in my opinion, the Chiefs are the key, and what they will say in public would be more pro-treaty than what they will say under interrogation by Scoop Jackson with leading questions and Barry Goldwater and Strom. And where it's a much hotter atmosphere, and where these fellas can be taken along a road, which can be much more mischievous when they went. But if they go on record first in front of the Foreign Relations Committee, then it's more difficult for them to, even though they will still do this same thing with Stennis, the public record is there first, and they don't have to worry about what they said in private the day before. Now, I understand that there was an agreement made that John Stennis, by Max Taylor, that he'd come Wednesday the 14th, but no agreement was ever made, I'm sure, because nobody could possibly make it that he would hear the Chiefs first before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
No, that's right.
Now, as I understand, he's around saying there was such an agreement?
Yes, that was his understanding.
Who with? Who was the agreement with?
Well, when I talked to him, I just mentioned Maxwell Taylor, and I suppose he assumed the chief of staff at the same time.
No, but I understand that Max Taylor said he would be there the 14th,
That's right.
He didn't say he would be there before he was at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. What right, really, has a subcommittee of the Armed Services Committee to hear on a bill, which on a major piece of legislation, chiefs of staff before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee?
No, right at all, except that they've been trying to get Taylor and the chiefs for some time, and...
you see, they had two chiefs, but they were having them on the comprehensive.
Right.
They haven't got a jurisdiction. This is a matter, really, which is a Foreign Relations Committee matter, and which they also have a right, it seems to me, to explore, but for them to say that they should have the chiefs in private, which will be leaked in the most distorted way to Scripps Howe, because that's already happened. See, 2 weeks ago at the time that Averill was signing it, stories came out about the statements of the chiefs, but of course they were talking about the comprehensive. What I'm concerned about is that these chiefs will write in private a record which they will then feel obliged to sustain in public. Well, if we could get them on the public record and publicize that to the nation, then whatever was leaked out of the committee would have much less impact.
That's true, but I think that you'd get the backs of these people up. I think Stennis may come with us on the treaty, but I think he's being pushed by his committee.
But except he hasn't any right to... I think you can just say that, of course, you can have Max too, but you've got... He has no right to say that we promised him, because nobody did, that he would have them before the... I mean, that's no... he hasn't any jurisdiction in the matter. What we're going to do is appease him in the hope that we might get him, and which we may or may not get him, and we take great dangers, it seems to me, in getting the chiefs of staff on in a sour way. That's what I'm concerned about.
That's true, but then what happens if there's a follow-up on this is he gets to the rest of the Armed Services Committee, and he weakens the strength we must have to pass the treaty.
Well, I think that what we ought to... What is your judgment about our saying to Stennis he can have Max Taylor the 14th? But
my judgment is that he'll come back and say, Mr. President, it was my understanding that I would have Max Taylor in the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, all right. Let's say he says he has Max Taylor in the Joint Chiefs of Staff on Wednesday the 14th. But that nobody ever said that it would be first, and that we will therefore get a statement of the Joint Chiefs, which will be submitted for the public record on Wednesday, perhaps Wednesday morning, to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Then that will be the public record. Then they're not going to be able to leak it on us. Do you have any objection to that?
Well, I can see your point, but then they'll pull out this leak that Larry told you about, I hope.
Yeah, but I told... That cable was sent by with my full knowledge, because for the reasons that I'm now saying, I thought it was very important that they go before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee before they go to the Preparedness Committee, and I would use as my justification for that this leak out of the Preparedness Committee two weekends ago, and therefore we're on very solid ground for saying that it should go... In the presentation of a case, we should have the right, it seems to me, to present our case. Then they should have the right anybody wants to rebuttal or examination. So it's quite obvious that what's going to happen is that they're attempting to cut across the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in an area where they have jurisdiction second to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee with the key witnesses in executive session, subject to leaking and subject to interrogation by Goldwater and others in private. Then when they get on the public record, they're going to be inhibited, it seems to me, by the private record they've made. Well, if they make the public record first, then what they say in private can't be leaked because they've already said they were for it. Now, I don't care about this cable. That cable was sent with my full knowledge. I don't know what it said, but I told them to get a hold of Fulbright and find out whether Fulbright wouldn't arrange his thing so these people would come first.
That's true. But
is that what the cable says?
Well, yes, to get them to appear before the Foreign Relations Committee.
That's correct.
And I have discussed this with John Sparkman, who's been doing yeoman work with Stennis.
Yeah.
And he, in effect, agreed with what I suggested in the memorandum I gave to Larry. I also want you to know, though, that anything you want to do, you go ahead and do it, and it'll have my full support.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'm thinking of the votes.
I understand. The only thing is, John Stennis, who's a good fellow and everything, he's making up a story, or somebody is, when he says there was an agreement they would come first to him. What there was evidently was Max Taylor's agreement that he would come the 14th. Now, I would like to get these chiefs, because I regard the chiefs as key to this thing.
Yes.
If we don't get the chiefs just right, we can get blown.
Right.
I would like to get them on a public record before they go to the Preparedness Committee. Now, I will call you back, but I just wanted to find out whether we can get some evidence.